Pastor Lauer from our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at 8:03, and again on Sunday afternoon about 5:45. Our Savior's is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. That's just across the street from Franklin Elementary. Sunday services are at 8 and 10:30 a.m. We also have a service on Saturday evening at 6. Please join us for Christian worship, education, fellowship, and service. Have you ever thought about our Lord's suffering and death, only to think that maybe there were others who suffered more or longer than he did? What was it that was special about our Lord Jesus' suffering and death that made it any more important than others who have suffered and died? If it's not the length or severity of his suffering that is special, perhaps we should consider who it was that was suffering. This is God himself, who did not need to suffer at all. Part of his suffering was the ability to end it, but not doing so. Jesus suffered willingly, and that must be much more difficult than suffering for a person who can do nothing about it. And yet, there are others who have also suffered willingly, those who could have stayed home or walked away, but chose to stay and suffer on account of their love for others. That still is not unique to Jesus. So what is it that makes his suffering different from our own or that of anyone else? It is not the type or the degree to which Jesus suffered that is unique or important in the Passion of our Lord. That's where our human competition, our desire to measure and to weigh everything, to know who is the best or to know who has had it the worst, blinds us to what God is doing. Jesus is not saying, "Oh, you think you got it bad? I had it worse." No, he is not competing with us. It's not about who had the most pain or suffered the worst loss. It's not even regular people who experience such loss that talk about that way, because there is no comfort in thinking that you had it worse or better than someone else. And neither would there be any comfort to know that Jesus suffered more than all. That misses the point completely. Yes, he had real pain. Yes, he endured it willingly. But the point is that he did so without losing his faith. And that is where our Lord Jesus did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. It's the same thing as when we talk about our Lord's temptation by Satan in the wilderness. The real temptation in life, what all the other temptations have in common, is the temptation to take what seems to be the easier way than the way that trusts completely in God, or to think that we know a better way than the way which God has given us. The temptation is to not trust God, but to put ourselves above God, doubting him, judging him, and testing him to see how he will measure up. We see this in the Old Testament reading for today. We see how quickly the Israelites were to condemn Moses and to judge God because they were experiencing a bit of thirst. They had not just seen how God delivered them from the Egyptians. Had they not just seen how God brought them through the Red Sea on dry ground? How quickly we can forget that the Creator really does know what he's doing with us. But it wasn't that way for Jesus, who fasted for 40 days in the wilderness and then was tempted to turn against his trust in God for fast bread or fast fame or fast power. In those temptations, Jesus did for us what we and the Israelites were unable to do. Because we regularly doubt, we regularly judge, we regularly refuse to trust in him who has loved us from before the creation, who has given us all that we need and so much more, and who has been faithful to all that he has said. When we see Jesus being tempted, we see that he remains faithful where we have been faithless. The very same thing is true when we see Jesus in suffering. He does not merely stand over us and say, "Endure it." He does not say, "Oh, be thankful your suffering isn't even worse." No. Instead, we are to see Jesus doing on our behalf what we could not and still cannot do for ourselves. That is, to remain faithful, trusting in the Father to deliver us. We think, if God loves us, he would keep us from suffering in the first place. But don't we realize that in this life there will be suffering for everyone? Even God himself, who became man, had to experience and bear the suffering which comes in this world. To wish an end to all suffering, well, that's to wish for heaven. And to wish for heaven is to wish to leave this sinful, broken, dying world. And that is what we will do. But first, there are things for us to do here for the good of those we love, before we leave for the life which is to come. And being here means coping in a sinful, broken, dying world. In short, it means suffering. You see, out of love for us, Jesus endured the shame, the pain, the suffering, the forsakenness of the cross, not because it was harder than anyone else's suffering, but because that's what came with doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves.
Out of love, God became man to tell us about the kingdom of heaven and to bear the price for our sinfulness. It was not the suffering of Jesus, but the death of Jesus, which made that payment for all sin. The suffering was the necessary path to fulfill that purpose. In the same way, the suffering we experience always comes because we have loved. You suffer at the death of a spouse, or, God forbid, at the death of a child, because you love them and gave your life for them. If you don't want to suffer, then don't love. Not in this world, at least. Don't love yourself. Don't love your work. Don't love the world. And certainly don't love anyone else. Otherwise, you will suffer. But to miss out on love is also to suffer the loss of what this world ought to give. One of the poets wrote, "It is better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all." That was Alfred Lloyd Tennyson, if you're interested. But the price we pay for our love is loss. That is the backwardness of this sinful world. If the letter to the Romans, which is the basis for this sermon, the Apostle Paul wrote, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There are those who will endure suffering because they love themselves, and there are those who will endure suffering because they love someone else. Who do you love? That is the one for whom you will suffer. So it is in his suffering for you that God shows you his love. He would not have it any other way, just as you would not think twice of giving your all for those you love. Jesus said, "No greater love has anyone but this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And immediately Jesus added, "You are my friends." Again, this is God suffering for you. And as you go through life, you will see and learn about this connection between doing for others, simply because you love them, and giving yourself for others, even though it's exposing you to the possibility or even the certainty of great suffering. Jesus came out of love to serve us. And as I so often say, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. For him, that meant enduring suffering in order to accomplish what he came to do, which was to die. We understand that best when we can see ourselves doing the very same thing. It's not a question about how much we suffer or how greatly we suffer. The question really is about how much we love. How great is your love? What are you suffering out of love for others? For whom would you not suffer? When your own comfort or your own benefit is more important than the one you love, then you will not lose yourself or set aside what's best for yourself for their sake. We all have our limits. We all have those for whom we will suffer and die, and those for whom we will not, because our love is imperfect, and our love for ourselves will only allow us to go so far. But now we know how God, our Lord Jesus Christ, has loved us. He knows you, and he will not lose you, as a parent loves their child, or as a man or woman loves their spouse. You see, this life is not about who's the greatest, or who's the strongest, or who can accomplish or endure the most. It's about who loves and how they love. Jesus of Nazareth, God made man, loves you, and so he has done what was needed for you. That's his love. Amen.